The presentation is being loaded. I'd like to thank my collaborators. Many of them are here. I think we have Penina Haber here. Penina, raise your hand. Yeah, thank you. Emily, Karen, and John Iskander. I assume you know them all from CDC. They have been very helpful with this investigation. And if you don't know them, probably you're at the wrong conference. So, these are the findings from measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella vaccine, ProQuad, which was relatively recently licensed. Most of the data I'm going to present does not belong to me, which is something I do often. So the people who have collaborated include people from FDA. Some of you know Wei, Patrick O'Connor, who is now at CDC in Indonesia or somewhere, and Soju and the other usual suspects, Penina and the rest of the team from CDC. The VSD, the Vaccine Safety Data Link Study Team, which did a post-licensure study on this, and the Merck people who did a post-licensure study because we requested them to do. You know, we had that power. FDA has that advantage. So in regard to background, just to go into it, measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella vaccine is a live vaccine. The antigens are the same used for the MMR and the varicella vaccines from the same manufacturer. There are slight differences, including the fact that for a number of reasons that we may or may not discuss, it contains a higher dose of the varicella virus. It was licensed in September 2005, approved for children ages 12 months to 12 years. For no particular reason, the research was done in those age groups, and that is what FDA approved. FDA approves what you give FDA. We cannot, you know, imagine data that was not given to us. And ACIP recommended the vaccine, as you will know. During the clinical trials, meaning the studies that were done before the licensure of the product, around 5,000 children were studied, and those studies are considered fairly perfect, meaning randomized controlled studies in specific groups of children that are very comparable. The safety was there compared to children who received MMR vaccine and varicella vaccine as separate injections during the same session. For most of these kids, those were the only vaccines received. And the systemic adverse events that were significantly higher for MMRV than for MMR plus V were fever and measles-like rash. No sequela, no particular problems, but this finding made us request the manufacturers to do a post-licensure study to see if those, please disconnect your cell phones. It's not mine. the finding made us think that it would be important for us to do post-licensure studies of complications of fever, which could include seizures. So we specifically asked the manufacturers, and also we asked the VSD, to investigate the possibility of seizures after MMRV vaccination compared to MMR plus V. And this is basically the subject of most of this presentation. So the studies that were undertaken included the vaccine safety data link passive surveillance, a phase 4 observational study done by the manufacturer under our request, and the vaccine safety data link, which we asked the VSD to do, and they were very kind to do. And the main findings for the passive surveillance study will follow. The vaccine safety, the vaccine adverse events reporting system is, as you know, a passive surveillance system. It is voluntary, easy to report, nationwide reach. I hope most of you have reported something. And it's useful for signal detection, for monitoring reactions that are already known, to identify possible potential risk factors that will later on be further investigated in other systems, and for surveillance purposes. But the vaccine adverse events reporting system has certain limitations. The diagnoses are often not verified. There is lack of consistent diagnostic criteria. If there is a child who gets vaccinated and starts trembling and whatever, not doing the boogie-boogie, but having, you know, tonic-clonic movements, then Dr. Jones comes and says, okay, this is epilepsy. And then Dr. Rene comes and says, no, this is convulsive syncope. So both of them rush to their computers and report to VAERS. So we have two reports of the same event under two different diagnoses. They have nothing in common, apparently. So that happens very often in VAERS. This is not a real example. Made it up. You know? So there is a wide range in data quality. Some people report complete information. Some people don't. There is underreporting. Somebody in this room probably has not reported the serious adverse events. If it is in your conscience, go to the computers in the other room. Report it. The outcomes requiring timely laboratory confirmation are better investigated in other settings. Doesn't mean VERS cannot do it, but it's a little slow, okay? So we are going to discuss the quantitative analysis, but remember all those limitations. So the fact that we show you numbers doesn't mean those numbers mean anything, okay? So we use something we call data mining to identify adverse events. One of the tools we use is proportional reporting ratios. Just to explain you how it works is, the number of reports, let's say in this case for seizures, received for the MMRV vaccine are compared to the number of reports for seizures for all other vaccines. So the statistics of the PRR is a very fine statistic, but the numbers have to mean something. Those reporting ratios have to mean something. And when the passive surveillance is imperfect, which is the case almost all the time, then those numbers can be misinterpreted. The same is with the empirical Bayesian geometric mean. It's a very sophisticated tool, but it works with an imperfect database, which is VERS. But the principle is basically the same. So we will need expert judgment all the time. So the search criteria here we use is US cases, vaccinated since MMRV licensure, reports receiving during the last year and a half or two after our licensure, and MMRV versus MMR plus V. And the results are here. If we can look at the graph, we have the MMRV column, all reports, the serious reports, the death reports, the percent of all MMRV reports, and same for MMR plus V. There are basically no relevant differences between the proportion of serious reports for MMRV compared to MMR plus V and the proportion of deaths reported for MMRV compared to MMR plus V. And please remember, those deaths that are listed here, that doesn't mean these people died for causes associated with MMRV. In fact, none of them could be associated with MMRV. There were just coincidental deaths. Two of them died for unknown causes. Another one had a myocarditis for a viral disease which was never detected, and so on. But those are the reports we received. The main adverse events of interest, this is a very busy slide, but basically there are no difference in the main events of interest between MMRV and MMR plus V in this passive surveillance study. And I will go over it very quickly. For anaphylaxis, we have 7 reports for MMRV, and we have 3.7 per 1,000 reports in VERS for MMRV for anaphylaxis, compared to 11, which are 5.8 per 1,000 MMR plus V reports in VERS. The difference is, if you see these per 1,000 columns and you compare both of them, they are very similar. That doesn't mean there is no association, but the study is basically negative up to this point. When we use the data mining tool, of which I was explaining you before, using the PRR or in this case the EBO5 score, there are no impressive findings except for the fact that we found tonic-clonic movements a little higher in MMRV compared to MMR plus V using this exploratory data mining tool. What are the findings for the... We are coming from the passive surveillance world to the observational study universe, so these data are a little more sophisticated. They are better. We know the denominators, at least, and in some of the cases, in most of these cases, we have validated the diagnosis. When we say seizures, it's not because Dr. Jones thinks it is seizures. It's because Dr. Jones and Dr. Edwards and Dr. Tony think they are seizures, and they happen to be neurologists, okay? So the objectives are to study the risk of febrile seizures after MMRV compared with MMR plus V during days 5 to 12 after vaccination. Why days 5 to 12 after first dose of vaccination? Because that is the window in which we found the most cases of fever in the clinical trials. And it also coincides with the period at which the measles vaccine virus disseminates itself. So it's a very logical window. But they also studied the 30 days post-vaccination as a more complete window for all component vaccines of MMRV, which has a number of antigens. How many antigens do we have in MMRV? Raise your hands. 4, okay? So The secondary objective is what we call general safety, meaning children 12 months to 12 years of age, first or second dose. There was no finding in the general safety. The general safety study showed no important signals, so we will not discuss them. We will focus our analysis on the seizure signal. So this is a little busy, but if you look at the MMRV column on the left, you will see for days 5 to 12, 7 cases for a rate of 0.5 per thousand for MMRV. And if we go to the other side, to the MMR plus V, we have 3 for 0.2 per thousand. So it is higher in the MMRV group. And the relative risk, the risk of the one compared with the other, is 2.3. So it's 2.3 times higher for that time window for MMRV compared to MMR plus V. The significance of the study, there is no statistical significance, but this could be attributable to the fact that the number of people investigated was around 14,000 only in each group, and that might have given the study insufficient power. In fact, this is not the whole study size. The whole study size is over, in fact, 31,000. Okay? For the days 5 to 30 and 0 to 30, we don't find the same results. We find relative risk, which are very near one. This is a graph of the timing of those seizures in this study. On day 0 to 4, probably attributable to other vaccines concomitantly administered. Then on days 5 to 12 or 7 to 10, if you want, you have a little more cases, and then they disseminate a little bit throughout the time window. Now, what are the findings at this point from the vaccine safety data link study? This was provided to us by Nicola Klein, and it's based in her ACIP presentation, same for the Merck study. As you see, the vaccine safety data link has study centers all over, although the weight is a little more to the left, you know, the west side, but we will ignore that for the time being, assume that west siders are the same people as we are. So the MMRV study, the age of the patients is 12 to 23 months, so it's a strict age group. The Merck study, basically, although the Merck study included children ages 12 to 60 months, 90-something percent of them were 12 to 23 months. So the two studies are fairly comparable in that regard. The outcomes monitor are this list of outcomes, which we decided on these outcomes based on a number of considerations, based on adverse events known for the component vaccines or events that are known to happen with the natural disease. But there was no finding regarding this, what we will call now general surveillance, general safety. So we will ignore that. We will focus on this seizure signal. The window of analysis was 42 days, not 30 days as in the Merck analysis. But the analysis included also a tool to detect specific narrow windows within those 42 days. This is a temporal distribution of seizures after the MMRV vaccination, and you see very clearly a peak around days 7 to 10. If you use statistics, you will see the same peak, and we will call that scan statistics. And if you compare it with the MMR plus V vaccination, you will see the same peak, but a little smaller, and maybe the waves afterwards distribute themselves a little differently. The unadjusted rates of seizures for days 7 to 10 post-vaccination, which is the finding, the window, the most important window in this study, is higher for MMRV than for MMR plus V. But if you were to add the MMR and the V together, one over the other, the rate is very similar to MMR plus V, meaning do not avoid vaccinating your child with varicella or delay it necessarily, because you will not gain much. It's better still to use it in the same visit, okay? But basically, you have a higher rate for MMRV than for MMR plus V, and that is the main finding. The logistic regression analysis of this observational study shows that an odds ratio of 2.3 for seizures after MMR plus V compared to MMR, for seizures after MMRV compared to MMR plus V. And the confidence interval is significant. It shows that these findings are significant. They have been adjusted for age and for the influenza season, because rates of fever and seizures subsequent to fever can change because of seasonality. But although the adjustments were made, there was no confounding by these factors. So the study is fairly solid in that regard. So the attributable risk for MMRV seizures compared to MMR plus varicella vaccine seizures is 5.2 per 10,000. That means that for every 10,000 children who receive MMRV vaccine, instead of the separate injections, there will be approximately 5 additional seizures during this time period of 7 to 10 days post-vaccination. That's what it means. So 5 more every 10,000 children you vaccinate. In summary, the VERSE study found a proportion of serious reports and adverse events of interest were not higher for MMRV compared with MMR plus V. The data mining results are only remarkable for a higher proportionality for convulsions. The Merck observational study, which did not find anything in the general safety, that was okay. The preliminary analysis found a higher, not statistically significant, rate of confirmed febrile seizures for days 5 to 12 post-MMRV when compared with historical controls vaccinated with MMR and varicella during the same visit. The study also evaluated risk for febrile seizures during days 0 to 30 after vaccination. This risk was not significantly different. Now, we have to clarify that they have to complete the study. They had very preliminary data for 30,000 vaccinees, but those data are not confirmed, so I'm not presenting that at this point. The VSD study showed a preliminary analysis which found higher statistically significant rates for febrile seizures for days 7 to 10 post-MMRV compared to MMR plus V, which corresponds to one additional febrile seizure for every 2,000 children or 5 per 10,000. These findings, which were presented on February 28 at the ACIP, made the ACIP do this following changes. The ACIP does not express a preference now for use of MMRV over the separate injections. As you remember, because of the general recommendation for preferring one injection over two injections, the recommendation was if both were available, one of them should be preferred to the other, and that would be the one with the least number of injections. It's based on the general recommendations. Now that there is no express preference at this point by the ACIP on whether to use MMRV or MMR plus V. Although at this point that's not very relevant because MMRV is not really available in the market for most of us. But anyway, why am I here? But anyway, the ACIP, the ACIP also recommended establishing a working group to evaluate the increased risk for febrile seizures after the first dose of MMRV, and we will investigate and discuss and try to get those studies completed. The CDC, the FDA, and ACIP will communicate updates. Other actions, the revised MMRV label that incorporates the findings, the CDC and the FDA posted information on the internet, and a publicity thing, the CDC published the MMWR update on March 14, and I think I have a copy. So it's printed, therefore it's true, so read it. Okay. It's on the web, and I think you have access to the web from here. Thank you very much, and these are invaders.